Good morning, everyone. I'm excited about this morning, but the Lord has put me on a spot. I prepared during the week for Sunday, and not that I get comfortable, I'm always tentative in what God's got to share, but last night as I was just looking at my notes, I really just sensed the Holy Spirit just changed everything. So we're going to run with what the Lord has for us, and I'm really excited about that. And thanks for the guys for praying, but I like to pray too. Father, we thank you that you're our Lord, and you guide us and you direct us into all truth. And Lord, there's an aspect of your grace here today to outwork what you're calling us to do. And I just pray, Lord, every one of us would be receptive for what you're wanting to do in our midst today. So Holy Spirit, will you come and minister to us as we minister to you, Father, today in spirit and truth. So bless us, Lord, as we trust you now. In Jesus' name, amen. We went to a meeting on Thursday, and one of the African ladies there just shared something of what happens in the African culture. When a king is announced to the people, the one that comes and sings poems about the king and declares who he is. And they use the African term, Bayete Nkosi. Exalt the king when he comes into their presence. But they preempt him coming in to recognize who he is. And you know, we've got a king that we serve, and sometimes we don't know who he is. And I just really just sense, before we go into our time of worship, of singing song to the Lord, I just sense the Lord wanted us to just delve into Scripture and understand this incredible role that God has given us to worship. You know, the world out there worships themselves and they worship other things, but we have been called out of the world and we confess Jesus our Lord, but we also called to worship. And we no longer do the worship that was in the temple in Jerusalem, but we are the temple of the Holy Spirit, and by the Holy Spirit we worship God. And it's one of the most important roles that we have. Even though we serve God and we love Him, one of the roles that we will do in heaven forever is worship Him. And if you can put your mind around that thing, and it's not necessarily always just song, but it's an aspect of who we are and what we represent. And I just really believe God wants to take us deeper and further as a family here into worshiping Him for who He is. And I've been really challenged by that portion of Scripture in John chapter 4 where Jesus has the discourse with the Samaritan woman and he talks to her about rivers of living water or the fountains of living water. But then he gets to the point where he opens up to her what this evidence of what the expectation of heaven is for worship. So I read from John chapter 4, verse 19 to 26. John chapter 4, verse 19 to 26. And the woman said to him, "Sir, I perceive that you're a prophet, and our fathers worshipped on this mountain, but you say that is in Jerusalem is the place where we ought to worship." And Jesus said to her, "Woman, believe me, the hour is coming when neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem will you worship the Father. You will worship, you worship what you do not know, but we worship what we know, for salvation is from the Jews. But the hour is coming and is now here when the true worshippers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father is seeking such people to worship Him. God is spirit, and those who worship Him must worship in spirit and in truth." And the woman said to him, "I know that the Messiah is coming, who is called Christ. When He comes, He will tell us all things." And Jesus said to her, "I who speak to you am He." And this is an incredible discourse with a foreigner. And the Lord reveals the purpose of the church and what the church needs to be doing in worshiping our Father. It's incredible that the Scripture actually, the Lord uses the word true worshipers will worship the Father. And I really believe there's something of our role and our responsibility before God is to come before our Father and to worship Him. It says in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 28 to 29, "We have received a kingdom that cannot be shaken. Therefore, it says, thus let us offer to God acceptable worship with reverence and awe, for God is a consuming fire." You know, our Father is so loving and so kind. He doesn't demand it from us. He expects us with a willing heart to do these things. But I've just seen over the years, even in my own life, is that our God becomes common. And we get blasé with him. We don't revere him to be God Almighty. And there's something of having an intimate relationship with him and loving him and having that personal connectivity. But there's an aspect that's got to come to our worship where the scripture says our worship needs to be acceptable. It's not just song, but it needs to be with reverence and awe. Now, Nikki took me to a YouTube video and Francis Chan, and this man has a testimony of the outworking of God. But he came and just said, there's something that's got to transpire in all our lives, that we've got to deny self, take up our cross, and follow Jesus. And this thing of denying self is such an important thing, because how can you follow if it's all about us? And what he did, he actually, and we maybe need to do it in other things, it's not called by actions, but got his heart right before God, and he just said, Lord, we just come before you for your presence and humble ourselves before you. And just as an outworking of that, even before I preach, I just sense even to do that. Can we all just close our eyes? And, you know, we so often come to worship God and it's a song, but it's about our hearts. We connect with God with our spirit man. So, Father, as we come and have heard the Spirit of God, Lord, we come and bring our hearts before you. We turn our eyes upon you, Lord, today. We realize there is no one but you. You are Lord, you're our Savior. And Lord, as we're going to reveal, there's more to you than we can comprehend. But as we humble ourselves and surrender ourselves before you this morning, we contemplate you. We come with our hearts filled with worship to come and prostrate ourselves before you, to bow ourselves before you, to deny self, and turn to you and realize that we have nothing but you. As the scripture declares, Lord, that you are our great reward, we truly come to that place today saying that, Lord, whatever we have is meaningless compared to knowing you. So, Father, here we are as your children. We come and bring our bodies as living sacrifices before you on the altar of atonement, that, Lord, that we will be pleasing to you. We are the body of Christ, laying our lives down to you, Father, and bringing our hearts filled with admiration, and exalting you and honoring you for who you are. You are our God. You are our God. Thank you, Lord. So, Lord, as we go to your word now, will you reveal yourself to every one of us? May your word speak. May the knowledge of your names, may you give us the spirit of wisdom and revelation to know you. May there be aspects that are dropped into our spirits and our minds today as we see you for who you are. May there be just something through your names that would open up our lives to more of you today. The scripture tells us to fix our eyes upon you, Lord. That's what we do today. Will you open our eyes to see you for who you are? Thank you, Lord. Amen. So in Psalm 24, verses 7 to 10, the scripture says, "Yeah, lift up your heads, O you gates, be lifted up, you ancient doors, that the King of glory may come in." That the King of glory may come in. And the psalmist says, who is this King of glory? The Lord strong and mighty, the Lord in battle. Lift up your heads, O you gates, lift them up, you ancient doors, that the King of glory may come in. Who is He, this King of glory? The Lord Almighty, He is the King of glory. Now the psalmists have opened up something of inviting God into that place of worship where they were honoring Him, the Lord God Almighty. And I just want to take the names of the Lord, and I want to just expound them to you today, not giving definition and not going depths of scriptures where they were used, but just declaring to you the words that were used to describe our God. This is not exhaustive. The names of God, there's over 100 names of God. I haven't got nowhere near that to understand the majesty and the wonder of who He is. But I'm going to go through some of the aspects of who He is. And may our understanding grow, may we grow in wisdom, and may there be a revelation to every one of us today understanding who He is. Now the names of God, the name of El in Hebrew and Elohim. El is singular and Elohim. And we see right in the book of Genesis from creation, it talks about God as Elohim, and it's plural. And so often the Lord is one, but He's plural. And even from the beginning, and I want to say to you emphatically at the beginning, the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit were there at the beginning, and they called themselves Elohim. And Elohim is God the Creator, the one that is sovereign, the one who is supreme in power, transcendent. He is beyond our limits, beyond our understanding. He is mighty and strong. He is omnipotent. He is the one that is the moral governor of the universe. El Elyon, God Most High, eternal, mighty, strong, and powerful. This is not someone that we're dealing with who is weak. He is almighty. He is powerful. El Shaddai, Almighty God, the all-sufficient one, satisfying, abundantly blessing, and can nourish in every single way. When you call upon these names, everything that who He is becomes a reality in your life. When you call upon Him as El Shaddai, the almightiness of God actually becomes a reality. El Roi, the God who sees, the one who cares. We see the scripture that says He knows the very hairs on our heads. He knows He predestined us from time beginning. He knows the very detail in every one of our lives. El Olam, the everlasting God. Eternity is who He is. And so often we cannot comprehend the greatness of who He is, but He's everlasting. Forever and ever and ever and ever is our God. Adonai, Master, God's people are His servants. He's our master. As we call upon Him, Adonai, we are the servants of God Most High. He is Lordship. He has the right to be Lord over our lives. Even though we invite Him in, He has the right to be the Lord of our lives. And I think we don't always understand that His Lordship is supreme over us. When we confess Him as Lord, we don't always comprehend it, but that Lordship is supreme. And if we allow Him to be Lord, He will rule and reign in His almightiness. Jehovah. Now, Jehovah was a word that was brought in to take more into our English Bibles. But the original Hebrew word, it was Yahweh, and the Jews never used to say it with the consonants. That's why they call it Hashim. They call Him another name because they wanted to revere Him for who He is. But He declared Himself as Yahweh, the one that is almighty, the Lord. Then He declares that I am. When Moses says, "Who are you?" and He says, "I am. I am who I am." And we see right scattered through the New Testament, Jesus uses those words, "I am," continually. I am the resurrection and the life. I am the door. I am the good shepherd. That's who He declares, "I am." And you know, you cannot define "I am." It's who He is. It's the majesty and the magnificence of who He is. Jehovah Elohim, the Lord God. Again, it's behind the word Yahweh, the Lord God Almighty. Jehovah Adonai, again, to bring out the sovereignty of our God, the Lord God. Jehovah Sabaoth, the Lord of hosts, the one that is in charge of the armies of God. He is the heavens and all that's in the heavens. He's Lord of that. You see, we don't even understand the heavens and how they're made. There was a news report I saw the other day that they said there was another big bang as what they ascribe to the creation of our earth that has taken place in a distant galaxy that they've just picked up on their radio telescopes. And they were asked this incredible, clever professor, when did this take place? 250 million light years ago it took place. We cannot fathom the magnificence, the enormity of who our God is. Jehovah Jireh, Jehovah will provide. And we all need to know him for the one that is the provider. He provides for the birds of the air. How much will he provide for you? He brought creation into place. He brought the ecosystems into place. And I know we're dealing with issues of climate change and global warming, but God is our provider, Jehovah Jireh. Jehovah Rapha, Jehovah, the Lord that heals. He's the Lord that heals us. And I really believe there's something of that, is that he declared to the Israelites that he's the God that heals. And as much today, he hasn't changed in his nature and his character. He's still the God that heals today. The mark of Jesus' ministry on earth was healing. Healing the destitute, the sick. He always had compassion. And today, he's still the same today, yesterday, and tomorrow. He's the Lord that heals. Jehovah Nissi is my banner. He's the one that goes before us. He's the one that's over us. And he declares his great name over us, that the world can see that we belong to him. Jehovah Rohi, the Lord is my shepherd. And how much comfort we get from that, that the Lord is our shepherd, that he's the good shepherd. He's the one that guides us and leads us. In Psalm 23, we all know the Lord is my shepherd. And how much do we really hold on to him, that he would shepherd us in life, through the obstacles of life, over the mountains, into the valleys, through the difficult times, and in the times of joy. Jehovah Shammah, the Lord is there. Now, wherever you go, the Lord is there. He's with you. He said in the scriptures that he'll never leave us nor forsake us. He'll be with us to the end of the age. Jehovah Shammah. Jehovah Tzidkenu, the Lord our righteousness. Again, we cannot come into the presence of God in our own righteousness. He is our righteousness. When we believed upon the Lord Jesus Christ, his righteousness was imparted to us or imputed to us. We received it not because of good works. We received it because he is the righteous one. And I want to just say, with this aspect of his righteousness is so often forgotten. God is righteous. He does things right. The righteousness goes hand in hand with his holiness. There's no difference between the two. And God does not play around with his righteousness. He protects his righteousness. I was reading even this morning in my daily reading in Leviticus, there was a man that blasphemed the name of the Lord. And Moses didn't know what to do with this man. And they went before the Lord. And I know it's under the old covenant, and in the old way, but they waited upon the Lord, and the Lord said, lay hands upon him, take him outside the camp, and stone him to death. That's how his name is to be revered. Now, I know we're under grace, but I'm telling you now, there's something of the holy reverence of Almighty God and who he is, and that he is righteous. And you know, we stand before God here, and we have the grace of God, and we enjoy his presence. But one day you will get on your knee, and you will bow before him, because he is Almighty God. You will not stand up. You will bow before him. Everyone in all creation will bow before him, because he is Almighty. He is the God Most High. And he loves us, but he is a righteous God, and he doesn't. His righteousness is, there is no compromise to his righteousness. You know, I don't know if you understand your salvation, and thank God for Jesus. We were enemies of God. God was about to, his wrath, obliterate us. There was no outworking of anything but his obliteration, because he judged us because of his righteousness. And thank God for Jesus, that Jesus took our sin and our wrongdoing on him, and he took the wrath that we were meant to take. He took it. That now, because
when the Father looks at us and he looks at his right, he sees Jesus and the righteousness in us so that we can stand in the very presence of God. And I think we discount this thing is that this wonderful grace of God that we've actually received, and it is a wonderful grace that we receive, but we discount the price that was paid for us to receive this righteousness of God. And that's where we really need to be focusing upon and understanding the great price that was paid for us that we can come to know this incredible God. Jehovah Kadesh, the Lord who sanctifies you and makes you holy. We cannot make ourselves holy. It is only through him and through Christ, what he completed on the cross, that we become a holy people unto God. Jehovah Shalom, Jehovah our peace. How often we forget that in our troubled times that we need God's peace. And Paul says to the Philippians that the peace of God will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. And this is an incredible inheritance that our God can give us peace. And the disciples, when the Lord had died and they were distraught and they were grieving and they were mourning, they had no hope. And the first words that the Lord actually said to them, peace be with you. God is still in the game or in life of imparting his peace to us. And how often do we not only need peace in our hearts, but we need peace in our minds. We are bombarded in this world with so much information and so much negativity. Do we really have the peace of God in our minds? How often are we so troubled and we don't know our way, but when we find the peace of God, we can be overcomers. We can climb every mountain. And then he's also Heavenly Father. And the Spirit cries out within us that he is Abba Father. And that is an incredible, incredible gift that's been given to us, that our God that was against us has now become our Father, that he becomes our dad, our daddy. He becomes that place of endearment that we can call upon him, even though he's Almighty God, he's our Abba Father. He's also the Son of the Living God. That's our Lord Jesus Christ. And we preach much about him because salvation comes through him and only him, and just through him that we've come to know God the Father and God the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit, how do we describe the Holy Spirit? He's the Holy Spirit. And the Bible tells us that we're not to actually blaspheme the Holy Spirit and warns us against that. So we need to worship him. Worship the triune God and that revelation of Elohim right through Scripture, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and the aspects of who he is. May we worship the living God. So this is an introduction today. I really believe God wanted me just to expound on who he is, that your eyes of your heart would open up to see the majesty of who he is. The wonder of who he is. And every one of us comes before the Lord with different needs. And I don't know what your need is here today as you come before the Lord, but there's something that God wants to impart to you of who he is. It might be an aspect of his righteousness. It might be an aspect of his healing. It might be an aspect of his peace. It might be the aspects of just knowing that he sees you. I don't know what aspect the Holy Spirit wants to do today. But as we come before the Lord, I'm asking you, with reverence and awe, to come and worship your God in spirit and truth, that you are a new creation. This is not something that we do glibly, but we do this as we honor the Lord today before the Lord. And I just know as the worship team leads us today, may we just comprehend something out of this. And we're just trusting the Holy Spirit out of this as we worship him and we glorify him, that not only will we minister to him, but that he would minister to us. And I know the scripture in Ephesians chapter 1, 17 says that we need to receive the spirit of wisdom and revelation to know him. And I'm telling you now, what we focus upon becomes our reality. And as we focus upon the Lord today and we worship him with all our being, and we declare who he is over our lives, something is going to change in every one of your lives today. I don't know where you are in your walk with God, but I know God wants us all to go deeper and further and understand him for who he is. This mighty God, we don't have to wait for heaven for him to reveal himself to us, and we don't have to see him with the natural eye, this invisible, immortal, eternal God. He wants to reveal himself to us today. So I've come in obedience, believing God wants to do something today. And I'm asking obedience to respond to him today. He wants to meet with you. He wants to meet with you. You know, when he died and was resurrected, he said to his disciples, "Go ahead to Galilee and I will meet with you." And you know what this is? This is the gathering of the saints to meet with God. Why do we gather on a Sunday? Yes, we get encouraged. God gives us understanding of his ways and his will. But we've come to meet with the living God. And that is the incredible privilege that we have today. And I encourage you, as I call the worship team, well, if you want to come to the front, please. And I'm going to pray for us, and I'm going to just trust, as we engage with God, may this be a reverent time, may it be a time where we honor the Lord, and may you connect. Do not look to the left and to the right. I know there's other things. Will you clear your heart and your mind, and will you worship our Lord? And may he minister to you as you honor him today. So, Father, we thank you for this time that we can set aside as true worshipers, to worship you, Father, in spirit and in truth. This is not something that we do in our own strength. We do by you, Holy Spirit. And I pray for that enabling of the Spirit of God to be upon every one of us today. Some of us don't understand the depth of this, but I pray that you'll take us deeper. I pray that every heart and every mind will connect with you today. And that, Lord, there will be an outworking of stepping out of ourselves to meet with you as the Lord God Almighty. May we worship you. May we honor you. May we exalt you. May the things of this world grow strangely dim as we focus our attention totally upon you today. And then, Father, we give you the full right to have your way amongst us here today as you want to administer your grace and the outworking of your will in every one of our lives today. Father, if there are hardened hearts here today, I pray hearts will be softened. Where there's judgment in our hearts, that will be put aside. Where there's criticism, that those things will be put aside. That there'll be a clear outworking to worship you. I just sense that we cannot come into the presence of God harboring sin. And as we just take time, and the scripture says in 1 John 9, if we confess our sin, God is faithful and true to forgive us our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So I'd like us just to take a moment to examine our hearts, that it might have been that slur word that you said to someone this week, or your eyes being focused to be critical of someone. May the Spirit of God reveal that thing and ask God to forgive you, because there's an aspect of purity and the aspect of holiness when we come into his presence. So Lord, we ask, will you reveal to us the things that are displeasing to you, that Lord, that the blood of Jesus can cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So let's take a moment just to examine our hearts, to examine our lives. Can I say one of the biggest things that Jesus actually spoke to his disciples about was about doubt and unbelief. And if there's unbelief in your heart, just ask God to forgive you for that too. Lord, you see our hearts, you see our actions, but we thank you for the grace and the mercy that we can come before you and we can acknowledge our weaknesses and our sin. And Father, we come before you in the name of Jesus. Every one of us is a sinner saved by your grace. And we ask now that as we confess our sin before you, whatever it is, so slight or so great, we ask that, Lord, that your blood, the authority of the finished work of your atonement, Lord, would be imparted to every one of us today to cleanse us and to wash us from all unrighteousness. And Lord, we receive that now, that we are a true body of Christ that is standing robed in the purity and the holiness of God. And then, Father, we take up our priestly role now. And as we sing song and as we connect our hearts with you, we come to worship you. We come to honor you. We come to glorify you for who you are. Will you take up your rightful place, as the African folk would say, Bayeti Nkosi, Bayeti Nkosi, Bayeti Nkosi. Be exalted, our Lord. Let's stand and let's worship our King.
I really just have a sense as